The latest issue's Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the issue's Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org. What if I told you that my evangelism strategy for Muslims was to go to the mosque, to pray toward Mecca 5 or 7 times a day, to keep the 5 pillars of Islam, to present a Bible translation that fudges the Trinity and Jesus as the Son of God? I'm an insider evangelist. Now, the word Chrislam means a lot of different things, but one of its applications has to do with this insider strategy. We're going to be talking about it with Joshua Lingle. He's founding president of I2 Ministries. He's co-founder of an article in the latest Christian research journal titled Chrislam, Insider Movements Moving in the Wrong Direction. Joshua, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, hi Todd. Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
There's Chrislam and then there's Chrislam. That's a term that has come to mean a couple things. What do we have to understand about the big picture here of these insider movements to understand the kind of Chrislam that you're addressing and you're attempting to warn us about?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's different groups that are out there. You can look in Nigeria. There's certain groups that are, you know, kind of a combination of Christianity and Islam and are defined as such. What we're talking about is actually a missionary strategy, a decided missionary strategy that's being adopted by some Christian evangelical missionaries today that is particularly looking to adopt basically the religious identity, the beliefs and practices of Muslims or of Islam in a way to identify as such. And so for us, you know, if somebody is calling themselves a Muslim or they're, for example, bowing in prayer towards Mecca in a mosque, or if they're saying Shahada, there's only one God, Allah, and Muhammad's his prophet. These are all kinds of Chrislamic things that are trying to identify with the people that are in the religion and help them to follow Jesus within the religion. I have a quotation here. It says that this is from H.L. Richard in Unpacking the Insider Paradigm. Written in 2009 in the International Journal of Frontiers, it says, if you are in a Muslim community or a Buddhist community or a Hindu community, you maintain that identity in that socio-religious community. That is, where you work out your discipleship to Jesus, you follow Jesus as a Hindu, as a Muslim, as a Buddhist, or whatever other variety of socio-religious or cultural religious community you might be from. And so that's, you know, what we try and do in the book that we wrote, Chrislam, How Missionaries Are Promoting an Islamized Gospel, found on our website at i2ministries.org and on Amazon, is to let the insiders themselves self-define what insider movements mean. Because each insider that you talk to will define it a little bit differently, but the basic objection that we're very interested in and concerned about that the Holy Spirit has led us to confront is this idea that you're adopting the religion of a false religion, a false God, a false prophet, a false scripture. And of course, I'm a scholar in Islamic studies, so very sensitive to that, that teaches in the Biblical Studies Department at Bible University and Talbot School of Theology. So those are things that are very concerning to us.
So this is far more than just kind of accommodating a trappings of a culture, say, for instance, in a Hindu culture. There's no doubt about it that Hinduism is both culture and religion, or Islam is most certainly both culture, politics, and religion, all those things. This is far more than simply adapting oneself to the externals of a particular culture. This is adapting oneself and one's message to the religious sensibilities that are attached.
Yeah, that's a very incisive, insightful way of putting it. Because, yeah, the idea is that none of us are against contextualization. All of us are for being able to clearly, contextualization is clearly communicating the gospel in that host culture to that person. None of us are against, you know, speaking in the foreign language, ethnomusicology. None of us are against wearing clothing or eating foods or so on, things like this. There's a difference between culture and when a different god or a different prophet or a false prophet, you take your commands from a false god rather than Jesus in the Gospels, and you adopt the form and the customs or the form and the meaning, because in Islam, the form and the meaning are not different. For example, in Surah 5, Ayah 111, it says, believe in Allah and his messenger, which of course is Muhammad, and bow towards Mecca. So when you are in a mosque in Surah 5, 111, and you're shoulder to shoulder, as many of these missionaries will go into the masjid or to the mosque and so on, that you are identifying with a focal point that centrally is identifying you and bowing toward, even if you're saying, well, I'm bowing towards Jesus. But the form of bowing down is the passport, it's the driver's license, it's the identification card code of the Muslim. So when Muhammad and the angel Gabriel in the Hadith and the tradition of Islam, in Sahih al-Bukhari and others, the most authoritative traditions would say, what does it mean to be a Muslim? And the angel Gabriel would say to Muhammad, it means to believe in the pillars of Islam, the things you believe, and the articles of faith, the things that a Muslim does. And one of those is the Shahada, you know, saying Allah is one and Muhammad is his prophet. Another is bowing in prayer towards Mecca. And so this identity card is not, you can't just pour out the meaning and say that you can fill it with any kind of Christian meaning. It would be like Muslims coming into our churches and going to our youth groups and doing insider movements in Christian churches, or Christians going into Mormon churches and acting like Mormons or something like this, and quoting the Mormon scriptures. And so what it does is it creates a syncretism or adopts the religion of a false god. And of course, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, that's anathema. You're not supposed to. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Old Testament that says not to do that, as well as in the New Testament.
The advocates of the insider movements and of Chrislam in particular say that they have biblical examples to support what they're doing. We've got a couple minutes here before we take our first break. They go to Genesis 14, the account of Melchizedek. What do they say? What example there do they say that they are following in adopting the strategy of the insider movement?
Right. Well, there's 8 main verses that insiders basically capitalize upon to say are justifications for remaining Islam. You mentioned the one in Genesis about Melchizedek adopting, perhaps he was acting as a pagan priest and so on. There's in 1 Kings about Naaman and Ramon and the others adopting, bowing down to a king. He wasn't adopting and bowing down to the god, he was bowing down to the king, things like that. Dr. Jeff Morton, they're very complicated, issues to go through, and we cover them in the article. But Dr. Jeff Morton just wrote a book called Insider Movements. It just came out this month. I can't remember, but you can look on Amazon. It's there. And he covers basically those 8 scriptures in a full 200-page book that goes through each of the exegetical reasons why, those verses are not correct. Now, what they do is they take obscure verses like remaining where you were, like in 1 Corinthians, which is talking about marriage, or it's not talking about the religion. It's talking about remaining with an unbeliever or not and so on. And they take that and take it to mean that you're remaining where you were within a religion. And so the prohibition, the predominant message, throughout the entire Old Testament and throughout the entire New Testament, is to not adopt the traditions of other gods. So, for example, Jeremiah chapter 10, do not adopt the traditions of the nations, Isaiah 6 and 7. Idols are things that cannot speak and they cannot hear. For example, in the Old Testament, talking about Baal worship, the idea of going inside and adopting the religion of Baal would not be, something you would do. Exodus 23-6, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of the things in heaven above or on the earth. Water underneath the earth, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God and jealous. In 1 John 5, it says that, keep yourself clean from idolatry. And so this theology of other religions is something that the book Chrislam, talks about. Dr. Dave Talley, who's the chair of the Biblical Studies Department at Biola University, as well as Dr. Jeff Morton, talks about a theology of other religions that, when we sit, Todd, and look at the Old Testament, and we just, if we read through it again and again, we say, what's God's view of other gods? There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses that say, do not adopt the traditions of nations. Keep yourself clean from idolatry. Don't marry their women. In fact, he even goes to destroy the earth in the flood because of idolatry. He creates a rainbow, says he's not going to destroy them again. He warns again and again that his covenant people were supposed to remain in faithful fidelity as God's faithful wife. But throughout the whole Old Testament, the controlling paradigm with Israel and his covenant people is that she continuously goes and is an unfaithful wife, an adulterer, infidelity, and unfaithful, even calling her a prostitute to the nation throughout all the prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah and so on, in through the New Testament, up to the New Testament until Jesus comes and says, even as he's walking in the Gospels, saying this faithless and adulterous generation, because they're adopting traditions in a religious way that are wrong, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they're adopting false religions and false gods, whereas Israel's God wanted to have total covenant fidelity. And so this cannot be overemphasized how important both the covenant of God is with his people, the theology of other religions in the Old and New Testament, and that the hundreds of verses that these are talking about really out-trump any kind of obscure verses that may be a little bit hard to understand, but once you sit down and really read through them, then you realize that these are really cosmetic issues, and Dr. Jeff Morton's book deals really well with that.
Now,
as well as the Chrislam book as well.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Chrislam and insider movements. Joshua Lingle is our guest, co-author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Chrislam, Insider Movements Moving in the Wrong Direction. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Casting Christ's net on the Internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Welcome back. It's Monday afternoon, June the 4th. We're talking about Chris Lam, an insider strategy for evangelism. Joshua Lingle is our guest. He's founding president of I2 Ministries. Joshua, I was wondering before the break, what do you make of these recent attempts to translate or retranslate the Bible, Old and New Testament, to produce what some are calling a Muslim-friendly translation of the Bible?
Well, in the book Chrislam, I actually dealt with that. That was one of my. There was 18 authors or 18 scholars in that book in 25 chapters. Dr. Erwin Lutzer and a number of other scholars bought it and wrote back letters and said, thank you so much. We got about 15, 20 endorsements that have just come in for the book and so on. But my chapter in that was called Islamizing the Bible. And I was dealing with kind of the rock star, the Bono of S.A.L. Wycliffe, Dr. Rick Brown's theories, which he's kind of the predominant kind of person that with S.I.L. has brought forth the majority view these days about why we should actually begin translating in the first place what are called, they call them Muslim idiom translations. Some people call them Muslim-friendly translations, more people who are more critical of it. But basically, they're the same thing. And the idea is that in the Quran, there's a number of things that are kind of hostile to the Christian faith. Islam is basically, being a scholar in the origins of Islam and the Quran and Islamic traditions, that's kind of my area. But, you know, it basically goes after three or four different things about Christianity. You know, it says in the Quran that do not say that Allah, that he has a son, that God has a son. Do not say God is three in one. So it's a denial of the Trinity in some way. Classically, that's how exegetes have understood it. And then that Jesus was neither crucified nor killed. And likewise, Muslims classically have understood that to mean that Jesus, the crucifixion never happened. So here's a book in 632 when Muhammad dies, A.D., after the time of Jesus, that makes historical denials of the first century sources in the Gospels. Of course, any thinking person is going to go to those sources to understand who Jesus was historically, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and all scholars outside of Islam, of course, go to those sources and understand that Jesus, of course, was the Son of God, was crucified, and of course, has disclosed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what Muslims have objections to, if they follow the Quranic perspective, is they'll say, well, do not say God has a son, he's not begotten. The idea that God had sex in some way to generate Jesus is, for Rick Brown, an edifice, a wall, that they emotionally and intellectually cannot perceive, understand, or know. And therefore, what we need to do as translators, as communicators and contextualizing the gospel in Dr. Rick Brown's theory, which I think is false, is to change those words in some way so that they better communicate the non-biological sexual relations of Jesus and communicate in a different way what those words actually mean as son. And so they may use words like, for example, in Turkish, they use words, Frontiers use words like, as they were translating, the Frontiers of the Missionary Organization, that used took out son Ogul in Turkish and put representative. Because you want to look at how does this theory play out, because Hertzman from S.A.L. Wycliffe said that in an interview with Emily Belds with World Magazine, said that there's about 30 to 40 different Muslim idiom translations that has been worked on with Wycliffe today that changes in some way the what they call familial language, father-son language. I don't like familial because you can mean the wrong words besides just son. You could say prince, or you could say other things. I like father-son language because that's the Trinitarian formulation. So what they do is they remove and change them in some way. So in Arabic, they may say Isa al-Masih for the son. In Turkish, they may say representative. In Malaysia, they may say Isa al-Masih. Putra, meaning prince, as opposed to anak laki, which means in 13 of the dictionaries, all of the dictionaries in Malaysian and English, everyone that exists says that Putra means prince and anak laki means son. And so in Bangladesh, they do the same thing, taking out son and putting in Isa al-Masih. So what's happening is that there, all of these languages already have, all the predominant languages of Muslims already have translations that have father and son in them. But what these missionaries are doing in Islamizing the gospel is they're taking out father and putting in words like guardian in Arabic, or Lord, as the Quran says, Lord. And so it's all in response to a Quran, a false scripture, and the changing of the scripture according to a different religion, an anti-Christian religion, Islam.
What's the end result of that? I mean, you're no prophet, but what would you say the use of those kind of mistranslations among Muslims, what would the result be if we are not, as Christian missionaries, saying, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that classical and biblical Trinitarian formulation, what will the Muslim then believe as a result?
Well, obviously, if you're a Muslim who believes that Jesus is not the Son, and you can't have a Father, God, if there's no Son, so you want to, the idea is that, you know, Christians are kind of moving us along towards Islam. So if you're taking out Father and you're taking out Son, then obviously, you know, and you're totally against that as a Muslim, and the Prophet Muhammad's against that, Allah's against this, you know, their whole warfare is against this, in the sense, these ideas against the Christians, and especially as it pertains to the core gospel message of our theology. I mean, if you take out the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, very few things that all Christians everywhere in the world believe. But salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, to the glory of God alone, not by works, and so on, and the Trinity, God is the gospel, that if you remove those things, and Muslims are very, very happy with that, of course. They'd be happy to read a Bible like that. But being a faithful witness, of course, means that, you know, you have to the gospel, means you have to preach the historic gospel. You start with good theology first, and then you figure out your missiology. Once you reverse them and start with the local context, which is the religion, Sharia law or something in 57 Muslim nations, there's 1.6 billion Muslims today that would probably be very happy with Islamizing the Bible. And so they already claim that the Bible has been changed, it's been tarif. So this is proof and example, and now these missionaries have given that, in fact, they are changing the Bible and taking out son and father. So those are some of the effects that Muslims, they would like it. One, they would, you know, because it's more acceptable with their Quran, their theology, and they would like it also because it demonstrates the Christians have actually corrupted their Bible. Now, at the same time, what the insiders will say that it's used like kind of like a VeggieTales or a living translation or a paraphrase, the message or something like that, so that it's kind of an evangelistic tool that moves them a few steps forward. So they'll say that's kind of what they're doing, and they claim they're finding great success with that. But of course, you know, taking it, you know, and putting in to the text of the Bible, changing the text of the Bible, actually gets you in trouble with Revelation chapter 22. Because the Bible says that if you end up adding or subtracting something from the scriptures in Revelation chapter 3 and 2, there's it says that Jesus is son, then it says then you will actually be extracted from the book of life. Now, whatever that means, whatever denomination you're from, regardless, it doesn't sound good, whatever that is. And so universally as Christians, changing the Bible or removing something that it connotes, in John 3:36, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, and the wrath of God abides upon him. So it's central to our salvation to actually accept the Son, as the Lord and so on. So the effects in the gospel is Islamizing the gospel is regards to global and world missions that, over the last 100 years, Islam's grown from 230 million Muslims to 1.6 billion Muslims. 95% of what I'm involved with is the training of the global church to target the Muslim world in one generation. What it does is neuters our gospel and compromises the gospel, waters it down, so that when missionaries are supposed to, at this time, at this age, now, are supposed to be out evangelizing, finishing the Great Commission, making disciples, bringing back the historical gospel. I mean, the Gospel of John says these things have been written so that you might know that he's the Son. Jesus is the Son of God. So from that sense, the gospel is being compromised, and the only people that can keep these people accountable are the local church. It's the pastors, it's the people that are funding it. It's the Young Life kid that comes home. I got saved in Young Life. If your Young Life kid comes home and they were to bring a Bible in your translation, they bring something home from a Young Life leader that has taken out father or son out of the Bible, you as a mother or father now have to make a choice about whether or not you're going to throw that Bible away. It's not going to be a bunch of professors. It's not going to be a bunch of scholars. It's not that complicated. So, it's not going to be the WEA. It's not going to be Wycliffe, Frontiers, all those people. What matters and who's going to judge this is those people that understand that Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit need to remain, and that's the gospel that needs to be preached.
Joshua Lingle is our guest. We're talking Chris Lahm and Insider Movement Evangelism. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. I've been thinking about it for a long time. I finally decided to sit down and write something about it. Got a real problem with the Eighth Commandment, the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And maybe after reading my most recent article, in the Issues Etc. journal on that subject, you'll have a problem with the Eighth Commandment, too. You can read this and a Wittenberg Trail feature from Pastor Will Whedon in the latest Issues Etc. journal. If you're not subscribed already, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the big red subscribe button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org and subscribe to the Issues Etc. journal. We're talking about Chris Lom and Insider Movement Evangelism. Joshua Lingle is our guest. He's founding president of I2 Ministries and co-author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Chris Lom, Insider Movements Moving in the Wrong Direction. Joshua, it sounds like Insider Movement Evangelism isn't moving Muslims closer to the Christian faith, but may in fact be moving Christians closer to Muslim beliefs.
Right, and there's different parts of this. So, for example, if you are a Christian missionary and you say that, okay, let's say somebody gets born again, they accept the gospel, and they become a Christian, or they're supposed to become a Christian, then what you tell them is, listen, don't become a Christian, because that means Western American right-wing Republican or whatever. And everybody says, no, don't do that. But remain in Islam and just be a follower of Jesus in Islam. And so they begin to not identify with a local church where, you know, the gifts of the Spirit begin to bring the body of believers to maturity, but they remain with a cult, within a cultic false religion and in a mosque. And so they think that they'll, you know, the strength of that is that they're influencing their relationships, their brothers and sisters, their mothers and fathers and so on. But the problem with it, the serious misjudgment of it all, is that they remain outside of the covenant community. The kingdom of God is in the local church, and that's where people who identify with Christ as Lord, with the 5 million churches that exist today, those are the places that Christians are supposed to be in. Or if there's a place like where there's no church at all, then those people are discipled until there's others that form a church with 2, 3, 4, et cetera, and then that begins to build out a national church and a national identity as churches are planted amongst that. But you aren't supposed to continue to remain within the religion. Now just a side note, this is not the same thing as a secret believer. Secret believers are somebody who are Christians that have converted to Christ, and now that they believe in Christ and they're Christians, that's very different. A secret believer who's either immature in the faith, they're still growing, they're not going to get persecuted on the second day, you know, things like this, they're still growing in their faith until that, you know, a national church or they come to maturity and are ready to identify. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's disagreeing with that. What we are talking about are people are saying, don't come out of the mosque, remain within the religion or the cultural religious context, and with those family relations that identify you calling yourself a Muslim, praying the prayers within a mosque, identifying Muhammad as a prophet in some sort of way. In my article, I quoted Kevin Higgins, who is talking about how, for example, you can... In a paper he had written that was distributed to me by a former Muslim, says that he's writing this 22-page paper about how you can claim that Allah is one God and Muhammad's a messenger of God on the basis of, and still keep biblical integrity. And so, you know, it's these kind of things. Muhammad denied everything. I mean, I've read the earliest biographies and sources of Islam. Muhammad denied everything about Christianity and then, you know, conquered the whole Middle East and in North Africa within 100 years. So he was very much the opposite of the message of Christ.
Is Chris Lom producing, or will it produce, a totally false hybrid of Christianity and Islam, as the name might imply? Or does it simply say, and it, to me it sounds like what it says is, look, remain a Muslim. You can kind of incorporate Jesus in there where it's comfortable for you, and if you don't want to regard him as the Son of God or as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, that's fine. It doesn't fit into your context. Remain a Muslim. You could still regard yourself also as a follower of Jesus. Is that the end result here, that we're basically evangelists basically telling people, stay a Muslim and we will help you do it.
Well, every insider that I've ever talked to, advocate, who, you know, says that, you know, the hope is that over, you know, 20, 30, 40 years that this will kind of evolve into a movement, you know, they pump the numbers and we'll say, you know, there's 300 to 1.3 million insiders in Bangladesh. And we talk to people in Bangladesh who are involved in the insider movement, they'll say there's only 10,000. You know, they think that they're, you know, they're doing this for fundraising reasons, you know. And so, you know, what happens is that they think that it's going to be, you know, kind of transform over time. These insiders are genuinely, you know, they generally want to see a transformation of these, you know, these Muslims to follow Jesus in very difficult environments because they don't want persecution and they want to allow them to follow Jesus absent of that, hopefully, unnecessary persecution and so on. But it's very important to know that, you know, for example, the leading Syriac scholar in the world who studied out Arabic Christians under the rule of Islam is a man by the name of Dr. Sidney Griffiths. He's actually a Catholic scholar, theologian. When I go to University of Berlin or University of Notre Dame or whatever and give papers on textual criticism of the Quran and other kinds of Christian and Muslim theological issues and so on, Dr. Griffiths is there. And in his book on Church in the Shadow of the Mosque by Cambridge Press, he talks about how every single Christian Arabic group that ever began what are called crypto-Christian movements. Now, a crypto-Christian movement was a Christian group that began to adopt the Arabic language. These were all in Arabic, actually, but adopt the language of Islam in some way. So they begin to modify either Syriac Christians under Islamic rule or whatever. That any of those groups that began to adopt the language or the beliefs or practices of Islam throughout all of Christian history, every single one of them didn't survive. Every single one of them became Muslim. So it's a very important that the biggest demons in the world, the biggest spiritual warfare in the world is in Islam. And the reason is because there's 1.6 billion. It's the most people is captivating their souls. And so the largest deception and the largest pull for the church, the most amount of people that are converting into another religion is going to be Christians. Again, how you define that differently in different denominations, why they converted, but theologically, but converting into Islam, the largest group going into of Christians going into another religion is into Islam. So it's very important to be very clear about why we're Christians, what we believe, establish ourselves in the Gospels and the Bible, to understand Islam and why we're not Muslims, and so on. And that's the training that I² provides for church-based training around the world.
So with only a minute here, and our time is short, with only a minute here, Joshua. When someone says, well, I hear about this new translation that is intended to be Muslim-friendly, or I hear about this evangelism strategy that is intended to accommodate the Muslim culture, even insofar as going to the mosque or adopting Islamic practices, what would your word of warning be with only a minute?
Yeah, with basically, Todd, that, you know, Christians are supposed to preach the historic gospel. We're not supposed to look at a counterfeit gospel as an answer to the problems and missions. What we're supposed to do is to go back to Jesus and the gospels, to look to him, and he said to teach them to obey all I've commanded you to do, to go into all the world. And that means to write down what Jesus said, to do what he told us to do, apply it to our lives, and teach other people that. We're not supposed to change the Bible because we'll become false teachers in the form of a bad translation or, you know, regarding the Trinity, a functional denial of the historical doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that reads to everybody like an essential denial. You become a false teacher in the church. So it would be to cut off all financing for these kinds of groups, but to support all good missions that are going to be church planning, making disciples, and finishing the Great Commission, and not support insider movements that are adopting the beliefs, practices of Muhammad and Allah and the Quran, which is so obviously to a new Christian. But sometimes when you go to Fuller Seminary where you have a PhD in Islamic studies or whatever, that all of a sudden people seem to not really understand that anymore. But Christians do.
Joshua Lingle is founding president of I2 Ministries, co-author of an article in the latest Christian research journal titled Chrislam, Insider Movements Moving in the Wrong Direction. You'll find a link to I2 Ministries at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joshua, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
When we come back in hour two of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, the 4th of June, we're going to talk about the Holy Trinity. Yesterday, the church was altogether confessing the Athanasian Creed. We said a lot of things about our God, three in one, one in three, unity in Trinity, Trinity in unity, and that this is the only God that can be rightly worshipped for salvation. And to not believe these things is to forfeit salvation. We'll talk about how central the doctrine of the Trinity is with Dr. Stephen Hine on the other side of the break for the entire second hour of Issues, Etc. I was a parish pastor for about a decade. I know exactly what it's like trying to find an organist when yours is on vacation or the position is vacant. Let me recommend Church Music Solutions with their product called the Virtual Organist. That's churchmusicsolutions, all one word, .com, churchmusicsolutions.com. Virtual Organist is basically an organist in a box. It uses your organ. It plays your hymns, your liturgy, your selections. It's all available from churchmusicsolutions.com. When you go there, look for the Virtual Organist. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues, Etc. straight ahead.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.